Well, welcome, and thank you very much for coming to our early morning session. This morning, I'll be presenting to you a formative research study that was designed to provide greater insight into all the factors that contribute to malnutrition in Burundi, which is entitled Local Determinants of Malnutrition. Once again, in compliance with the APHA presenter disclosure statement policy, let me read this slide to you. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. I have no relationships to disclose. I hope by the end of this presentation, you should be able to describe the components of a local determinants of malnutrition study and explain how to apply the study findings to program activities. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge the contribution of some of my Food for the Hungry colleagues, Tom Davis, who designed the tool and was the co-trainer in Burundi, and Carolyn Wetzel, who assisted in the qualitative data collection. This study was done as a part of the Tuba Ramuri Project, which is a USAID-funded program that Food for the Hungry is participating in alongside partners Catholic Relief Services and International Medical Corps. If you discovered a behavior that mothers of well-nourished children were 7 times more likely to practice, I think you would sit up and take notice. Did you know that in Burundi, mothers of well-nourished children are about 7 times more likely to have given their child salt in the last 24 hours? You may ask, how will we use this information? Well, stay tuned and follow along as I describe for you the local determinants of malnutrition study that Food for the Hungry did in Burundi in Africa, September of 2009. This morning, I'll be explaining the local determinants of malnutrition, or for short, LDM study, to you in 5 sections. First, I'll give you an introduction to LDM, and then I'll tell you about the LDM tool development, followed by the study methodology, and finally the results from Burundi and examples of the application of results. So what is the local determinants of malnutrition tool and study? Well, first of all, it's a positive deviance study. Positive deviance refers to the phenomena of non-malnourished children existing in a low-resource community where most of their peers are malnourished. For some reason, these children are not malnourished and thus called positive deviants. Positive deviant studies investigate the local coping mechanisms that are preventing malnutrition in these children. LDM is also a community-based assessment tool that directly interacts with caregivers in the community. For this study, mothers of well-nourished or positive deviant children and mothers of malnourished children are interviewed with a questionnaire. Next, data from the two groups are compared to determine how they differ on each question. And thirdly, the statistically significant differences called determinants are examined further. And thirdly, LDM is useful as informative research, which would be performed in the program planning stage. An LDM study helps project staff to better understand which foods, which maternal behaviors, and which other situations are most associated with malnutrition in their project area. One thing that should be mentioned from the onset is that this sort of study helps one to find things that are associated with malnutrition, not causes. That means that these factors coexist with malnutrition. However, these factors may very well be causative of malnutrition if there is a logical connection via mechanism to malnutrition. In preparation for designing the LDM questionnaire tool, a literature review was done. The literature on causes of malnutrition was reviewed by Phil Moses, who's currently with Fanta, and Tom Davis with Food for the Hungry. They first examined positive deviant studies from a variety of developing countries and then reviewed other studies that provided information on the causes of malnutrition. Phil and Tom specifically looked for causes dealing with nutrient intake, feeding practices, and psychosocial causes. They looked for factors that were associated with malnutrition and thought to be causative because a mechanism for causation existed. Based on the results of the lit review, they developed matrices of possible determinants. the determinants were given a ranking score based on the strength of the association or the severity of the problem, the feasibility of measuring it, the degree to which it was susceptible to change, and the scope or the prevalence of the problem. Finally, the LDM questionnaire was designed. Questions were developed to measure the highest ranked matrix determinants. Questions were drawn from previous positive deviant surveys, or new questions were developed and then pre-tested. The design process resulted in 78 closed and open-ended questions, with question topics ranging from feeding practices, childcare practices, healthcare seeking practices, worldview, psychosocial factors, and hygiene practices. The questions focused on behaviors and practices that can be modified by program activities with tailored behavior change communication messages. Next, I'll be telling you more about the LDM study methodology. The study uses a case control design, which means that the communities for the study were chosen at random from all the communities in the project area, but the persons to interview were not chosen at random. All of the communities chosen for the study were equally low resource environments. So at each LDM study community, the women and the children were assembled at a central location to weigh the children who were between the ages of 12 and 48 months. Based on their child's weight, the mothers were divided into three groups. One, those with a well-nourished child, or PD child, defined with a WAS score, which means weight for age Z score, that was greater than or equal to minus one. The second group were those with a malnourished child defined as a WAS score less than or equal to minus two. And the third group were those children in between those two extremes who were not included in the study. An in-depth interview followed with the mothers of the malnourished and positive deviant children. The interviewers were not told if the mother they were interviewing had a malnourished or PD child in order to prevent bias. The study yielded a sample size of 46 positive deviant and 48 malnourished children. The data from the 94 questionnaires was then entered into an EpiInfo 6.04 data template. The data analysis program compared the two groups, which enabled a review of the computer output for significant results using 2x2 tables and ANOVA analysis. A majority of the statistically significant results were tested for confounding by age. The differences between the PD and the malnourished groups were considered to be statistically significant if P is less than 0.05, or if the range for the 95% confidence interval for the odds ratio did not include one. The results from the study showed striking and important differences between the two groups. This graph illustrates that 91% of the mothers of PD children versus 71% of the mothers of malnourished children reported that their infant was average, large, or very large at birth compared to other newborns in the community with a p-value of 0.01. The odds ratio for this variable is 0.23, which means that mothers of PD children are four times more likely to have an average, large, or very large baby upon delivery. In a similar graph, you can see that 63% of mothers of PD children said that they encourage their child to eat when they do not want to eat or they refuse to eat, while only 38% of mothers of malnourished children said that they did this, with a p-value of 0.01. The odds ratio for this variable is 0.35, meaning that mothers of PD children were three times more likely to encourage their non-hungry child to eat. Similar significant results were found for breastfeeding practices. This graph illustrates that 83% of mothers of PD children said that they initiated breastfeeding within 1 hour after delivery, while only 63% of mothers of malnourished children said that they did so. P-value is 0.032. The odds ratio for the immediate breastfeeding variable is 0.34, meaning that mothers of PD children are three times more likely to breastfeed within the first hour after delivery. The second graph shows that 47% of PD children versus 23% of the mothers of malnourished children reported that they consumed foods rich in vitamin B6 while they were breastfeeding. The p-value equals 0.02 with an odds ratio of 0.34. This means that mothers of PD children are three times more likely to consume foods high in vitamin B6, such as liver, garlic, and whole grain rice, while they are or were breastfeeding. Zinc and protein are other nutrients in the maternal diet during breastfeeding that were also found to be significant. Significant results were also found in the children's health and hygiene practices. This graph illustrates that 65% of mothers of PD children said that their child was not sick in the past 2 weeks, compared to 25% of mothers of malnourished children who said their child was not sick. P-value was 0.0001. The odds ratio for this variable is 0.18, meaning that positive deviant children were 5.5 times less likely to have any disease in the past 2 weeks. Mothers were also asked an open-ended question concerning where the child last defecated, and then a response category was marked based on her unprompted response. This graph shows the results. 57% of mothers of PD children indicated that their child defecated in a proper spot the last time they defecated, versus 23% of mothers of malnourished children. P-value was 0.0008. The odds ratio was 0.23, which means that mothers of PD children were four times more likely to have a child who defecated in a proper spot at last defecation. In terms of specific foods that were consumed by the child, as I mentioned earlier, positive deviant children were seven times more likely to receive salt. The p-value was 0.04 with an odds ratio of 0.14. This connection to nutritional status could be due to the effect of iodine, since most of the mothers who used salt claimed to be using a brand that was iodized, or simply due to the increased consumption of food by the child, because the added salt improves flavor. Positive deviant children were four times more likely to receive taro. The p-value was 0.004 with an odds ratio of 0.23. And mothers of PD children gave their children organ meats 2.6 times more often per week compared with mothers of malnourished children, p-value of 0.04. The final stage of the LDM study started with a qualitative discussion about the determinant results. For example, regarding the determinant, mothers of PD children were more likely to consume foods high in vitamin B6, zinc, and protein while breastfeeding. The discussion yielded the following information. Liver, which is a good source of B6 and zinc, is very expensive and not many people can buy it. It could be promoted as a special food in the curriculum. So the next step was to develop a focused behavior change communication message around these positive deviant behaviors, which could then be copied by other mothers in low-resource environments. In this case, the message was, what breastfeeding women consume affects the quality of their milk. This may mean eating special foods every once in a while, such as organ meats, whole grain rice, etc., to help your baby grow strong from your milk. Messages targeted at these key determinants are now being incorporated into health promotion materials, such as curriculum for mothers' groups and radio spots. Here is an example of a direct application. In the curriculum lesson entitled Maternal Nutrition and Anemia, the text states, eat beans, organ meats, garlic, whole grain rice, red palm oil, peanuts, squash seeds, fish and eggs. Mothers who eat these foods have healthier children. This illustration is an example of what the message looks like in a pictorial form in the mother's group curriculum. It shows a mother breastfeeding plus the nutrient-rich foods she is recommended to eat. In the case of salt being found seven times more often in the diets of positive deviant children, in the curriculum where recipes for children's meals are discussed, salt will be listed as an ingredient to make sure that it is not forgotten. Here's another example of how a determinant was applied. The determinant mothers of PD children were 3 times more likely to breastfeed within the first hour after delivery, yielded this information during the qualitative discussion. There are mothers who give their newborns beer to avoid stomach problems. So in the corresponding curriculum lesson, which is entitled Exclusive Breastfeeding, the message is in the text read, give only breast milk to infants from birth to 6 months. Never give water, beer, or other foods. Breast milk is the best food and drink for infants. The curriculum message is illustrated here by showing a mother who is breastfeeding her infant, plus crossed out items that she is not supposed to give to the infant while she is exclusively breastfeeding, specifically water, beer, and other food. So in conclusion, the LDM study gives insight into practices and foods that should be promoted in each country context. In this case, the local determinants of malnutrition study in Burundi enabled the identification of numerous context-specific determinants of child malnutrition, and it also enabled the development of locally appropriate behavior change communication messages. Finally, if you would like more information about this study, the complete report of this LDM study in Burundi can be found as a handout attached to this presentation online. Thank you very much for your attention, and I would be happy to take any questions at this time.
We have some time for discussion now, so we can devote our time to asking questions about her presentation.
Mm-hmm. I have two questions for you. One, it seems like if you went through the determinants, that the mothers that were positively deviant also might have had, within a resource poor community, a slightly better SES situation, because some of those indicators indicated vulnerability. Mm-hmm.
So did everybody hear the question? Some of you are kind of far back. I'm not sure you can hear. Some very good questions.
So the first question was about the socioeconomic status of the mothers in the project. Was that taken into consideration or measured? And yes, we did have a couple questions in the study that asked about, it was kind of a proxy question where we asked about the material that the roof of their house was built from. And which did show that the women were from a similar low resource environment. And the second question was about the salt, with the hypothesis that it was the salt that was perhaps increasing the flavor, and so that's why the children were eating more food and thus positive deviance and not malnourished. And we did look at active feeding a bit. If I can recall correctly, one of the questions talked about when you're feeding your child, do you threaten your child, or like, are you giving positive messages to your child to encourage them to eat? It was about, do you encourage them to eat or do you threaten your child to eat? So we did try to address that a bit with another question in the study.
It's interesting in relationship to whether the mother had salt. Mm-hmm. What was her rationale, reasoning, and engagement with the child?
Mm-hmm. And you're right, in a question like that where like a result salt, you know, what really does that mean? In this kind of study, we would want to encourage the researchers or the staff project, working with the project, to do a focus group around that specific determinant, just to find out a little bit more about what's going on and maybe why salt is being a factor or the active feeding aspects as well. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the question was, did we look at other factors related to the mother herself that could have affected the results of the study? I know we did not ask a question about mother's disease load or sickness in the mother. What were the other factors?
Educational status, food security, differences within the positive feedback.
deemed it mother duty.
We didn't ask questions about the mother's food security personal status. Within the study, there was a 24-hour recall for the child that was included. So there was, we looked at some of those things, the mother's educational level. Yes, we did look at that, but there wasn't any significant difference between the two groups. Any other questions?
I'm wondering if you know, or if there's any method to kind of translate the use of the tool to other settings, or if it's very easy and very specific, because you developed it in Burundi, but wondering if that's about bringing it to other settings.
The question is, have we used this tool in different settings? This is an example of how the tool was used in Burundi. And we have used the same tool in similar low-resource environments, which is our program focus with Food for the Hungry. We've done this in Kenya and Mozambique and Bolivia and Ethiopia as well. So we've been able to integrate or perform the study many times, and we've improved it over the years. So this is just the latest time that we were able to use the study. That's a great question. If there were any changes that we ever made to the study to adapt it to the local context. And yes, in several cases when we were using our project staff who actually knew the populations that we would be talking with, if they knew of a factor that they suspected might be a determinant of malnutrition, we definitely strive to include that as a question. For example, when I was working on the study in Bolivia, we felt that perhaps it was the density of the child's porridge that affected whether a child was malnourished or not, because that was a message that prior to doing the study that we were focused on giving to the mothers. So we did craft a question asking about the density of the child's food. Was it thick or thin describing the type of porridge consistency? And with that specific determinant, we didn't find any difference between the positive deviant and malnourished children. Any last questions? Yes, there in the back.
Did you see any difference in mental health status, HIV? What's the prevalence rate in terms of HIV?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, the question, yes, thank you. The question was related, did we see anything come up with maternal factors such as HIV prevalence? And for this study in Burundi, we specifically did not measure HIV status for mothers. It wasn't a program focus. However, it is included in our program curriculum. But you're right, something like that, if it was a high HIV prevalence area, that would be a very appropriate way to contextualize the questionnaire. I'm just recalling that we did ask a question about did someone in the family recently die or had been sick for a long time, have a chronic disease, basically. So we did look to see the mother's workload in evaluating if there was someone in the family that she had to take significant care of. Great, well, thank you very much.